We are a weird bunch of people, aren't we? We're odd. We're different in the way that we spend our Sunday mornings. Who else steps out into the cold and forsakes this beautiful Sunday morning to go into a building with lots of people, sing a few songs, hear hopefully not a boring sermon, eat a tiny wafer, drink a little bit of port, have a sandwich, have a coffee, and then go home for lunch? We're different. We're different in the way that we spend our time, our finances, in the way that we work, talk, and act. But we're different because we're called to be different as followers of Christ. And as we'll see over the next 3 weeks and today, we are different in the way that we rest. If you were to ask your friends what rest looks like for them, I imagine it might be a holiday or a night off from the kids or someone to do the washing up, or maybe that's just me. Less debt, no exams. That's what rest looks like for the world. But as Christians, we don't rest by doing nothing, but by being in relationship. We don't rest in the absence of work or troubles, but in the fullness of our relationship with God. And we can rest in Him because He is a mighty rock in the face of enemies. He is our hope in the face of hopelessness. And His word is sure, and all power is His. Well, He is a mighty rock. Now, this psalm is written by David, and there isn't really a time period given, but that's okay. Let's get stuck in. David's rest and David's soul silence is in God alone. Look with me at verse 1. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. So what does it actually mean to rest in God? Well, in the original language, the word that's translated for rest can also mean silence or waiting for a response. And what happens when we're silent? Well, we're not talking. It means we're waiting. It means we're being patient. It means that another person is in control. It means that we aren't trying to fix things by ourselves. It means that the ball is in another person's court. It means that we're putting control into the hands of someone else. For David, he can put his soul, his whole life, into the hands of God. And not just physically rest and have a sleep, but his whole being can be at rest. Why? Well, verse 1, my salvation comes from Him. David's salvation, his rescue, comes from God, not from anywhere else, not from a holiday, not from a break from his enemies for a while. No, his rest and rescue can only come from God. And for us, likewise, our rest and rescue comes from God. But how? How do we actually rest in Him? What credentials does God have for us to be able to rest in Him? Well, firstly, David says that God is a rock. Now, I don't know if we have any geologists here this morning, but here's what I know about rocks, at least the rock which David is talking about. It's a sure and steady thing. It doesn't change. It's immovable. It can't be picked up or shaken by a great wind. This is why David can rest in God, because He is a sure and steady thing. He doesn't change. God doesn't move. Verse 2, truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Brothers and sisters, as we put our trust in God alone, we're putting our trust in a sure thing. Apparently, in this world, there are only two things which are sure things, and they are death and taxes. Everything else is uncertain. Even taxes are uncertain. Death is certainty. But I don't know about you, but this is a pretty worrying picture of life. For me, New South Wales winning the state of origin still isn't a sure thing. Money isn't a sure thing. Food isn't a sure thing. Our houses aren't sure things. Our jobs aren't sure things. Our health isn't a sure thing. So in this world of change, how are we able to rest? In this world of fleeting happiness, how can we rest? In a world which is completely uncertain, how on earth are we able to rest? Well, the reality is that if we're relying on something on this earth to give us rest, we won't get it. Rest can only come from something external. Our rock, our salvation, our fortress, our sure thing. And as we do this, as we rest in God, in the face of troubles and uncertainty, we won't be shaken. Will it be easy? Not necessarily. But can we trust in Him and rest in Him when things aren't going well? Completely. Can we rest in Him when everything's going completely well? Yes, we can. And we'll be able to find rest. Well, David certainly had some hard times, as we've just seen in our 1 Samuel series. And it was hard. He was just hanging on. He was on the brink of collapse. Look with me at verse 3. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? David's enemies wanted to bring him down. He was just holding on. If you think about a brick wall, which is this bowed, and you just all you need to do is really push it, and it'll collapse. It's useless. It's not good for anything. But there's more about the enemies in verse 4. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. His enemies, they have no integrity. They say one thing, but they do another. So how can David find rest when he's completely under the pump? He cries out. He prays and acknowledges that this is his reality. That he's on the brink. That he's at the end of his tether. These people that are against him constantly lie, deceive, and curse in their hearts. And how can he find rest? How can he find stillness? How can he find silence? In the rock. In God alone. He urges his soul to be still before God. In the face of enemies and in the face of uncertainty, he urges himself on to trust in God, verses 5 and 6. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. These lines are repeated like a chorus because they're important and because they're supposed to get stuck in our head like a chorus should. But how often do we forget this great news? I don't know about you, but I need constant reminding that God is a rock who I can rest in. I can get so caught up in myself and what I'm trying to do to give myself rest and forget that it actually all begins with God. My heart is a factory of pride, wanting to do everything by itself. So I need these lines to be repeated over and over again. I need constant refreshment in the gospel daily. I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who needs this repeated as well. Because it's when we're reminded of the gospel, that we're reminded of the greatness of our God, of his love for us, of his compassion, of his sovereignty over all circumstances that we find ourselves in. We're reminded that he is ultimately in control, and so that we can rest in him. We're reminded that when life happens and everything seems like it's out of control, we are in relationship with the one who is in control, our Heavenly Father. Indeed, my soul, find rest in God. There's a slight difference in these lines. This time, David says that hope comes from God, that he is our hope in the face of hopelessness. David's hope doesn't come from his relief from enemies, but in God. Because in a constantly changing world, God is unchanging. In a world that seems to have no hope, God is a source of hope. I've heard many times over this past year from people who aren't Christians who say that they wouldn't like to have children in 2019 because this world is such a hopeless place, because it's such a grim place, because societies are on the brink of collapse, because poverty is so prevalent, because there seems to be no compassion at all. And frankly, if God were out of the picture, I could see myself sharing their sentiments. But friends, God is in the picture. And in this world, which can be a hopeless place, our hope can be in something greater than the world. We can put our hope and our trust in the one who by his power created and sustains the world. And it's only that we put our trust in him that we can be still, that we can rest. Verse 7, my salvation and honor depend on God. He is a mighty rock, my refuge. Being rescued from this hopeless, broken world can only come from God. Having true honor and glory can only come from God. And yes, people in this world will want to bring us down and silence us and shame us. But we can be lifted up and vindicated by our great God. And we can also be protected by God, our refuge, our hiding place. Our refuge is a place where people can go in order to find shelter and warmth and ultimately protection. Like a bunker in a big storm or a school hall in the midst of raging bushfires. For us, God is where we can go for protection and for shelter from this world and for warmth from his never-ending love. Maybe you've come here this morning just on the brink. Maybe work is relentless. Studies may be immense. Marriages may be straining. Health may be failing. Sleep may be severely lacking. That addiction may still be so overwhelming. Or your children are just frankly driving you crazy. If this is you, find refuge in God. Find hope in him. Hide in his loving arms. Pour out your heart to him. And as we read in verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Yes, we can pour out all our hearts, our troubles, our concerns, our deepest desires, our heartbreaking news before our great God, because he is our refuge. He is our hiding place. We can find safety, help, security, peace, and hope, and ultimately rest in our great God. So, why trust in God and not in anything human-made? Well, because everything and everyone on this earth is just a breath. Well, when the conditions are right and you go outside on a cold winter's morning and you breathe out, you can sometimes see your breath come out like condensation. But what happens to it almost immediately? It disappears. It vanishes. One moment it's there and then the next it's gone. Friends, that's what humans and human devices are like. Verse 9, look with me. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. If you were to take the whole of humanity and put them on your bathroom scales at home, they would weigh as much as a breath. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person in the world or the poorest, whether you're young or whether you're old. Whether you're a CEO or an employee, you are just a breath. We are just breath. One moment here, the next gone. So why would we put all of our hope in humanity? or in human structures. You know how we sometimes get feel-good news stories, which say that this restores our faith in humanity? What a preposterous idea. Now, please don't hear me saying that life isn't valuable. Life is precious. Life is a great gift from God. But there's the point. Trusting in humanity and not in the one who created humanity is futile. Trusting in creation and not in Creator isn't a good idea. Trusting in a breath and not in a rock will never give us rest. Those who oppose us and bring us down and want to silence us are also just breaths. So we shouldn't have any reason to fear them or to trust them. Verse 10, do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Trust in God. Trust in God, our refuge, our rock, our hope in the face of hopelessness. Then we'll be able to rest in Him. The God whose word is sure and all power is His. Verse 4, we saw that people say one thing but then do another. But then in verse 11, look with me. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. God has spoken once. He doesn't need to speak again because His word is sure. His word doesn't change. His word has no errors. So what do? We listen to it. We chew it over. We meditate on it. We wrestle with it. David has listened to it and has recognized two things here in this psalm which he mentions. Firstly, all power belongs to God. Yes, all power. He's got the power. Yes, earthly authorities may have some kind of power, but they're only powerful because God in His sovereignty has made them so. So, what does God do with His power? Does He abuse it like an unruly king? Well, no, in fact, He does the complete opposite. With God is unfailing love. His love never ends. His love is completely different to ours. He loves us no matter what we do or what we have done. His love never leaves us. He is a powerful, loving God who we can rest in. In his commentary on the Psalms, John Calvin wrote, "Why should we fear? How can we be afraid when the God who covers us with the shadow of His wings is the same who rules the universe with His nod? Holds in secret chains the devil and all the wicked, and effectually overrules their designs and intrigues." Why should we fear? How can we be afraid when we can put our trust in an absolutely amazing, all-powerful, all-loving God? And secondly, we know that because He's in control and loving, that justice will be done. Justice will come to those who oppose Him, and vindication will come to those who put their trust in Him. Verse 12, you reward everyone according to what they have done. So we don't need to panic when we're opposed. We don't need to seek revenge when we are. Because God is the judge, and we can rest in His judgment. So how can we enter this rest? How can we actually rest in a relationship with God? Well, only through the one who showed us what resting in God truly means. Through the one who suffered greatly. Through the one who was constantly opposed, yet as we hear in 1 Peter, yet when they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. We can come into God's loving, resting presence through the saving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So are you tired? Are you just barely hanging on? Do these next couple of days, weeks, months, years just seem completely overwhelming? Does the idea of rest even seem laughable to you at the moment? Maybe you're thinking, I really need this rest right now. I want to urge you today to come afresh to Jesus. See his love for you. See his rescue. See his power. See his authority. He rested and truly trusted in God, even to death on the cross, so that we can have rest, so that we can have salvation, so that we can have hope, so that we can have a mighty fortress, and so that we can have a rock, all through our relationship with our great King Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Well, God, when we are weak, when we're at the end of our tether, when this world seems utterly hopeless, oh God, stir in our hearts and help us to find rest in you. Remind us constantly of your great love. Remind us constantly of your sovereignty over all things. And help us to rest in you, our rock and our salvation. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.